following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland, all the way from the home office in Memphis, Tennessee. Thank you for dialing us up, tuning us in. I know.
It's not tuning in, bro. It's
hey, technically, it is tuning in because this show is available on the TuneIn app. there's a lot of antiquated stuff. I don't know if antiquated is the right word to use or not, because we're still sort of new at this whole thing. Now, I think podcasting in general, on-demand audio, if you will, is older than internet radio. And see, I'm having issues.
Well, I always have issues, man. It's just what I do.
I have a lot of issues. I have issues with a couple of, I don't know, and it's just phrasing, and it's just words. It's just nomenclature, I suppose. But part of the problem that I have is this whole notion of using the term podcasting. I don't know that I like that. I'm not a fan. I've never really been a true fan of the word. The art, yes, I get that.
Go check out my podcast, bro. You need to come see my podcast. It's
like this, I don't know, because there's literally millions of them out there, and we're one of them. And the whole thing is, it's just a podcast. You know, it's all it is. It's just a podcast. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know what else you'd call it. I mean, it's on-demand radio. It's smart radio. I like that term. You know, you got your smart TV, and you got smart radio. And the radio people, the terrestrial ones, as they are dwindling off like dinosaurs, their whole thing is, well, it's not radio. It's not true radio because you're not using the FM or AM band. You're correct in that. I am not using the FM or AM band, but it is still radio technically because most devices are wireless. So what is this magic thing that you have in your hand that just beams stuff into you? It's the same thing, whether it's in a car or on your phone. That's what we're calling that thing now because we don't use it for making calls that much. But there's the phone, and then there's the thing in your car which tunes in the AM or FM or sometimes satellite. If you're paying for radio, you've got bigger problems than I can solve. Just saying. But the word podcast, because it doesn't make any sense. It's a pod that you're casting. I've actually heard from people, and I'm sorry I used that. I don't like using that. I'm trying to break myself of that habit. I have heard from people who will tell you in this business that you're not technically broadcasting anything either. I fail to understand that mode of thinking. Broadcasting in its roughest term is broadcast. It's communicating a message or music or whatnot to many people. You're broadcasting it out there. I've done that. I've done that in a bar. You walk into the bar and you go, "Hey, everybody, I'm here." That's broadcasting to everybody in the room. But old school radio people will tell you it's not really broadcasting. You're podcasting. It's a pod. It's what is it? Peas, beans, what? Spaceship? Pot? No, it doesn't work. I don't like that word podcasting. It just I don't know what we'll have to come up with something. I'll come up with something better. Suckfest is probably pretty good because there's a lot of it. Reddit's podcast subreddit is an amusing read because it's always these people that are, "Hey, me and my bros are starting off this new show, this new podcast, and it's us, we start every show the same way. We're talking about the beer we're drinking, and then we go, so, bro, what's up?" And then they go on for like 4 hours, and then they go, "Hey, no one's listening to our show." Because you suck. That's all there is to it. So there's that. I think show works. You know, it's a recorded show. Technically, if you have like Netflix and you're watching a show that's produced for, let's use House of Cards as an example. It's not happening live. It's that show is technically a podcast if you really want to get down to it. It's a video podcast, bro. It's a vlog. These catchwords that these people have come up with to try and sell it is just not working. Because, I don't know, I just don't like the term. I don't know, it's just me. Another thing that I don't really care for is the term internet radio. I know it has to exist because it is to differentiate from the other radio, terrestrial radio, which I'm sure the terrestrial radio people hate that word. They hate terrestrial. Well, it's, you know, we're just radio. How dare you insinuate that we're anything but that? I mean, and those upstarts over there working out of their mother's house over there trying to podcast their way into internet radio. Soon, my friends, all radio will be considered the same. It's not like I'm trying to, you know, preach to the masses over this dumb thing, because more people are listening on the internet as opposed to elsewhere. We know that to be a fact. Hell, ask iHeart. Couldn't have happened to a nicer bunch of assholes. Good luck with the old Chapter 13, I tell you. Be a massive sale off. Hey, come on down to Stu's radio station yard. We got stations you can buy by the dozen. I don't know how they're going to sell them. There's going to be a flood of them. I'm telling you right now, there's going to be a flood of FM radio stations and AM stations that are going to hit the market, and everybody's going to go, oh, what am I supposed to do with this? They're going to be giving them away as prizes at the Saturday night bingo. Well, Mrs. Borgrinder, congratulations. You won tonight's grand prize. It's an FM radio station that nobody listens to. I don't know, man. I don't know. I just work here as such. All right, enough of this nonsense. On the program this time out, we've got a great show for you. They're all great. All right, no, they're not all great. Some of them suck. I get that. It's just part of the vibe, bro. I get it. On this time out, Jeff Janowitz and I sat down in the studio with the great Daddy Mac and his blues band. Not only did we have a great conversation, we had a lot of laughs in this, and we heard some fantastic music. Several songs in there for you. So kick back, crack open a beverage if you like, smoke them if you got them, whatever the case may be. Here in about 30 seconds, we'll get into it. It's our time with the Daddy Mac Blues Band right here from Radioland.
Keep calm and haunt on with Historical Haunts, Memphis Haunted Tour Company, Ancient Burial Mounds, Yellow Fever, Maritime Disasters, Victorian Murders, and Ghost Stories are all a part of the Memphis Dark History. Join Historical Haunts for a spirited night out on the Haunted Memphis Bus Tour, Haunted Pub Crawl, the Woodruff Fontaine House Ghost Tour, or one of our other spooky tours and events. Check out our website for all of the exciting ghost tours and ghost haunts at historicalhauntsmemphis.com.
Where'd you learn to play like that?
Well, it take a little time.
You didn't just pick it up and that start happening?
He was playing like that before he could walk.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, I wish. But I was old before I started playing. I was
oh, really?
Water.
Really?
Old as water when I learned to play. You
know. So what made you pick it up then?
Well, I used to think about a long time ago, I used to listen to Albert King and B.B. King. I'd be in the field picking cotton, chopping cotton. I did a lot of that.
Really?
And I would say, I sure wish I could play like that. So I played, learned to play a song or two before I come to Memphis. And I got to Memphis, got married, and got away from it. And I was 45. And I would listen to the radio, one Albert King song, and I started from there. And when he got me a guitar amp, and just, you know, started listening to the radio and what people tell me. I had a good friend, Rick Earl. He used to play with Little Milton. So I got to know him. He, you know, showed me a lot of stuff, and I started picking up on it, listening. And you can learn a lot about just listening. You know, if you run your mouth all the time, you never hear nothing.
That's a lesson I haven't learned yet.
Yeah, neither one of us, really.
But if you just sit and listen, you can hear a lot of stuff. You know.
That's great advice.
It is.
That's really good advice.
As Lightning Malcolm once put it, instead of listening to the sound, don't watch my hands, look at the ground, listen to the sound.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's exactly it right there.
Yeah. So that's why I, you know, just started picking up on it and just messing with it, just keep messing with it, learn a little more. And I think every time I play, I, you know, see a lot of stuff I can do different, you know.
Right,
you know.
So
I really don't think you ever learn it all.
No, you don't. Uh-uh. You do not. Uh-uh. No, that's an absolute fact. Even B.B. King once said that he and Lucille still had problems sometimes. He had days when he wouldn't talk to me.
Yeah.
So how did that go from I want to learn the guitar and play like Albert King to I'm going to get out there, perform, and you know, write music and put a band together and do all that?
Well, I really didn't think that I would, you know, play nowhere but maybe around town or the house or somewhere. But I really went further than I thought I would.
Really?
You know, since I started playing, because I done been some everywhere, London, Paris, oh, Vegas, California, Wyoming, Canada. Man, I've been to Canada so many times, I done about wore my van out.
I was born there, and he's been there more than me.
Look, we arrived one night. I get this with me. Where were we going? We were west somewhere. And we were up in the mountains, up around Nashville.
Oh,
so
yeah.
He woke up that night. And he couldn't see nothing. He said, man, where are we at? You know, the fog, whatever.
He's just white outside the windows. He couldn't see nothing. He's doing going down the highway. Well, I had to lose time, you know.
Wow. So did you decide, I mean, when you first picked it up, started playing, did you, man, I want to front a band, I want to get out there and do that? I mean, look, I was 12 when I picked up a guitar, and I wanted to meet girls. I mean, I'll put it out there. I was awkward, and that seemed like something I could do that would make me look cool.
How did that work out for you?
It still has.
I just
at 45, and, his motivations were probably
good. I get that.
Yeah, I used to think about it a lot of times, but I never thought it would happen.
Yeah.
You know.
But did you know you wanted to be a performer when you started playing at 45? Or?
Yeah, I wanted to be, but I didn't know whether I would be. But, you know, that's what I kind of set out to do. But, you know, I sure did. But, you know, sometimes it works out different.
For sure.
Yeah.
Usually does. It usually turns out that way, I guess.
Yeah, that's right.
So can we go around the room? I don't know all you guys, and you're all sounding amazing. So just can we start? We'll go counterclockwise.
All right, I'm the new guy in the band. My name is Calvin Sanford.
Calvin Sanford.
Yeah. On the Rickenbacker Fat Suckers.
On the Rickenbacker bass, man.
Yeah, that sounds good.
You don't see many of those, and they always sound great. All right, on the skins?
Charles Gage.
Charles Gaines?
Gage.
Gage, I'm sorry, Charles Gage.
Jesse Paul.
Paul.
I can't hear tonight. I don't know what's up.
Do you need me to turn you back up?
Yeah, you probably need to.
Are you deaf?
What? There it is.
Yeah, is that better?
Is that better?
Hello, I'm on the air. It's a professional broadcast.
That's right, yes.
John Gage.
John Gage. So you guys are related.
That's what they told me. That's what they make put on his.
And, of course, sitting back here all silent and spooky is Wally. He's kind of he's like the sixth Daddy Mac blues band member, right?
Yeah.
Wally's been known to write a few tunes for these guys.
Just a couple, yeah.
Yeah, just a few, yeah. And of course, Mr. Daddy Mac himself sitting at the table there.
With that beautiful Gibson guitar.
Oh, thank you.
A Les Paul.
Is that the one you bought when you were 45?
Yeah, Les Paul. Yeah. I tell you, I got this guitar. I had a shop, a mechanic shop.
Yeah.
So this boy I know, he was coming across the street. And I was looking at him. He said, you want to buy this guitar? You know, I was just starting.
Yeah.
I said, no, I don't think so. So he left, went on back across the street to the house, and he didn't want to take what the offering was. And so about another hour, I seen him coming. I said, uh-oh. And I've been headed ever since. I think I gave about $40 for it.
Really?
So did. Yeah,
it plays
good.
It plays good.
It's a beauty.
And I got that Epiphone Gibson at the house. It's kind of like the V B.B. King style.
Right.
Oh, the 335? Yeah. Yeah.
And,
oh.
I like playing it. And,
I'll bet, yeah.
And Gibson gave me that. I did a party for him down at the Center for Southern Folk Horror when he's on Bill Street. So they sent me one in the mail, brand new.
Oh, wow. Nobody ever sends me things like that. It's always filled.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
Others just like it, and they're just not the same.
Oh, that's... And when was this?
Oh, man, that's been a few years ago. You remember on the Center for Southern Folk Horror?
It was down on Beale, yeah. I remember that, yeah.
Mid-90s?
That's about right, late 90s. Yeah,
yeah, matter of fact, yeah, that's because I went to London right after that, and I kept that guitar holder I played at that place called Millennium Dome. And so I was telling this guy, I said, give me this guitar. He said, yeah, I know it. No, he won up.
You won up. Well, how about some more? How about let's hear a little more from you guys?
All right. We're gonna try to do a blues too.
We're gonna try it.
Let's try.
We're gonna try.
All
right. Don't screw it up, man.
We're ready. Hey, ready. One, two, three.
Thank you.
you know what I mean. When your woman tell you she don't want you no more, you know, when my woman tell me she don't want me no more, I'll make her have offers going all the way from Memphis, Tennessee to Missouri on a blacktop highway, temperature 200 degrees, barefooted. That's what I call the blues.
Daddy Mac Blues Band right there, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
I think you need to quit your day job, man.
Right?
Yeah, it's not. Is this a retirement plan for you, Mac? Is this where you're headed?
Well, kind of.
Yeah. I mean, it's a legitimate thing. You know, a lot of guys, when they get older, they just, you know, they quit the other job and then they're playing.
Still got to eat,
you know,
right?
Yeah. They always say, you know, you, if you got a bird in your hand,
yeah,
and you say, I'm going to see 4 or 5 over there, I'm going to shoot over there and get them 4 or 5, oh, you're going to let this one go.
Mm-hmm.
You shoot over there and miss all of it.
Right. Yeah, right? That's true.
You messed up.
That is true.
So, you know, a bird in the bush is always better than 5 or 6 out there.
Oh yeah, very much so. But you're playing a lot though, right? I mean, you're playing around.
Well,
yeah,
I haven't been playing as much the last year or so as I have been.
Yeah.
You know, everything looked like slowed down. But I remember, I think 3 or 4 years ago, I did 180 shows on the road.
Wow.
So that's a lot of traveling.
So did all Canada, New Mexico, Colorado, Oklahoma. So did.
Man, that's 180 shows in a year. That's
New York.
With a job.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Yeah.
I had a job, but you know, I worked like a woman on it, you know, because I was up on my own boss.
Oh, I got you. Okay, good. So being self-employed, yeah.
I enjoy playing, love to play, but like I said, everything looks like done slowed down, you know.
Yeah.
So you got to take the good with the bad.
Well, and it's a lot of work to get to the shows. I mean, just to book them and you know, to set everything up. I mean, that's a job in and of itself.
Yeah, and I think everything then got tight.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it did get a little tight.
Yeah.
Yep.
And yeah. Traveling ain't cheap.
Uh-uh, it sure ain't.
No.
That's tough. Cheap.
No. Or any less of a penny, yeah.
Man,
there's a lot of truth to that.
Expensive, something else.
Oh, that it is.
Ooh.
Yep.
You know, I'll be thinking sometime, I'll be sitting down thinking, because I have been on the road and come back, my gas bill will be over $1,000. You know, just one run.
But yeah,
right.
That cuts into your gig money, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You know, it's,
and see, when you fall over into Canada, I always try to have a tank of gas before I go across that border. Because, see, when you fall across that border, you don't know what you're buying. You just say, give me $20 or $30 worth of gas. You know, you don't know about some, you know, prices.
Different
kinds. Right, yes.
Yeah, the problem, well, yeah, because it's probably by the liter up there, right?
Yeah, uh-huh.
So that's, liter's about a quart, so, yeah. And it's the same price per gallon. So if it's like two...
He's just looking to pump gas, not have a math.
I know, and that's just it, you know. I got 40 bucks. Where's this going to carry me, you know?
When I, every time I went to Canada, I used to try to fill up before I go across that, you know, that border. And then coming back, if I have to buy some, you know, $15, $20, you get back across there, then the gas starts dropping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's important, man. You're thinking about all that kind of stuff. And then all the eating and where you're going to stay or sleeping in the van and all that stuff. Yeah.
And man, I had a problem with some guys. They didn't want to sleep in the van. And, you know, I'd go and get sleepy. I'd stop on the side of the street at a station going to tell people, say, I'm sleepy. Is all right for me to sit down? Yeah. Most of them say, yeah, all right. I'd take a nap in the van.
So no hotels?
Huh?
No hotels?
No.
Well, sometimes. Not always.
No, not always. You know, it's tough on the road because you had to make some tough decisions. Really. Yeah. I had to make some tough decisions. Because, see, them hotels, not cheap.
Yeah.
And see,
a
lot of places, when you book that, if you want a room, you're going to have to come out of your pocket. You know, some of them.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Everyone don't give you room.
Yeah. Yeah, it does make it a little tight, doesn't it?
Right. Well, I mean, you know, have you booked a hotel the last couple of years?
Yes, I have. Yes.
I mean, like, even if you want to die, it's just not cheap anymore.
No, it's not. Yeah, Motel 6 ain't $6 anymore. No. Yeah, I'm sure they'll leave us.
Look here, up in D.C. Now I played up there. Charles, what are you whipping? I say it might have been James. You know, we had rooms at the hotel, but I had to pay for parking my van in the parking lot.
Yeah, oh yeah, they get you on that parking.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, right. Parking. Yeah,
I think I paid $40 for parking my van.
That's insane.
In their parking lot.
Yeah, in their parking lot.
Yeah, the hotel.
That's upside too. We played in Washington, and they had a band house just outside of.
Right, so that helped.
And then, I think you were with me there. We was in D.C., wasn't we?
Yeah,
and I got that $100 for parking.
Yeah. $100 for parking, and it takes 2 hours.
Oh, God.
So you think Beale Street parking?
Yeah, you think Beale Street's bad, $100 in Washington, D.C.? Right. No, I don't think so.
I don't know which is worse, the traffic, lack of parking, or the river of people going down both sidewalks as you move about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It was lots of people.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I can see why you're not out on the road that much.
We were up there around, what was that, around Maryland? You remember when that policeman got killed? They were lined up on that other side. I was going that way.
20 miles.
Long. Ooh, you couldn't see nothing. Police cars, motorcycles, people stopping on the highway taking pictures. I mean, it was just messed up on that other side.
Yeah, buddy.
You know, going this way.
Wow.
We were going to Philadelphia.
Yeah, uh-huh.
That was on the
water.
Yeah, we were going to Philadelphia.
Got caught up in it. Yeah.
We happened to be going. They were.
Oh, yeah, we were going the other way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the officer actually was shot in Baltimore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow.
It was an assassination.
Wow, that's something.
It was humbling.
I bet. All the things you'd see out on the road. How about another tune from you guys?
All right. I'll tell you what. I think I'll do this song for all of the ladies. It's called Saving All My Love. song.
us. Very nice. Saturday Mac Blues Band here in the studios. Radio Memphis. Como. Which I know is Como's a great little town. Down there right there in the middle of it.
Oh yeah, that's where I was born and raised.
Was it really? Is it your hometown?
Yeah. I was born and raised in Como, Mississippi.
I like that it has such a neat little music history in and of itself for as little of a town that it is.
Yeah. I was born and raised in Como, Mississippi. I did a lot of chopping cotton, plowing, picking cotton.
Oh God.
Oh.
it's like God's practical joke that plant is not much more than about 3 or 4 feet tall, you know.
Yeah.
You got to bend over and work it. Oh, my God.
And you got to pull a 9-foot sack. Don't think about that.
And just fill it,
sack.
Yeah. What was it you were telling me, Jeff, about Ruby Wilson?
I was just thinking about that.
Yeah. She said she would never wear cotton because she was a kid. She was out there chopping it and picking it, and she'd had enough of it.
When we were shooting promo videos for the Bonafide Festival, first year of the Bonafide Festival, we had her down in front of a green screen, and we're asking her questions, and we got her to perform, and it was a pretty amazing time. You were there. Yeah. And one of the things, you know, they're asking her interview questions, and she's just answering. We got on the subject of cotton, and she said, "Let me tell you something. I pick cotton, I chop cotton, I process cotton, but Miss Ruby don't hoe no more."
Yeah, I tell you.
Well, yeah, I haven't. If you spend a lot of time around it, I can see that. And,
oh yeah.
Oh Lord, that's a lot of work.
A lot of time around cotton.
And then you spend a lot of time thinking. While all that's going on, too.
Oh, yeah.
And you're thinking about, you know, I think I'd be better playing the blues.
Oh, man. Yeah.
But that's how it starts. It's, and, you know, my hat's off to you, man, starting at a later age and then continuing on playing well. I mean, you're practically a master of it, I would say.
Thank you.
I got to jump in here because I know we talked about this earlier about how you really never stop learning. Doesn't matter when you start.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's right.
No.
There's always somebody better and faster does something. Yeah, you go, wow, I want to learn how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So you said Albert King was kind of one of the primary reasons, one of the things you started learning on.
Yeah.
But what were your other influences? I mean, at 45, you were probably, you probably had a music, you had a record collection and everything, like, you know.
Well, not really. I just listened to a lot of radio then.
Just a lot of radio?
Yeah. They played that stuff on radio, and I would listen, you know, Rufus Thomas.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'd never forget. I was a boy picking cotton, chopping cotton. I go to the house at night. I listen to Rufus Thomas. What he had coming on, he said, hooping and hollering.
Hooping and hollering.
Yeah, I listen to him. I think he come on around 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, he was at WDIA.
Yeah.
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 Oh, yeah.
Well, who were your guitar guys? Who were you listening to on the
I listened to B.B. King, Little Milton, and Abba King. I just listened to Muddy Water and Lightning Hopkins and all them guys.
Yeah.
And I kind of, you know, liked the Abba King style. You know, well, some of B.B.'s, between them two.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I like to have a King style.
Yeah, that's a good one to have.
one of the kings of the blues for a
reason. There's no lying about that as well.
Oh yeah.
So you would just sit there and then you would play along with the radio or play along with a record and
play along with the record. When I got my guitar and started trying to learn, I'd play along with the record. I'd sit and listen, and then I had a radio. You could get them tape.
Yeah.
And cassette tape.
And you'd record it.
And record it, and I'd play it, listen to it, play it back.
I did a lot of that,
It's until I kind of get it in my head, and then I try to play it.
And then there it was.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was all blues for you? You weren't listening to anybody like Hendrix or Clapton or...
No.
No.
Just Eddie Van Halen. I know.
Yeah, he's already shredding now.
You look like
Stevie Ray Vaughan. I would like to listen to him.
Oh my God, yeah,
man. I still love like going on YouTube and watching that guy play because it's one thing to hear him, but you see him. Oh my God, the guy was a force of nature.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you.
I was at one of the Austin City Limits tapings.
Really?
Yeah, with that, and that was impressive.
Yeah.
It was the first time I'd ever seen him, and I was what had marveled me was the size of his hands. They were they didn't look like they belonged on him. You know, it's like he was wearing like these really meat gloves or something. But you could just, from where I was seated, you could see that the strings on his guitar were that really really heavy. They're like
piano strings.
It was like telephone cable. You know, yeah, that's a big hand right there. I mean, yeah. But yeah, that was, and he was. I'll never forget how loud he was. Uh-huh. You know, I mean, you know, when in doubt, crank it up. You know, that's what he did.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, we're talking about. I'm looking down. I can see the light on your fretboard. I can see where you worn. It almost looks like a scalloped neck.
Yeah.
Naturally scalloped.
Yeah. Well, you know where he's at.
Oh yeah.
Well, on that then, how about some more? How about let's lay some more groove down here.
All right.
What's your ghetto or magical?
That's a little ghetto.
Now that's the groove, man. I love that groove. And you guys back there in the pocket, man, that's where it's at. That's where it's at. He's over there giving me that dirty look. Yeah, you get out of my house. I know the pocket when I hear it, man, and that's it, man. I know it. That's a Memphis thing. That's so true. I've heard a few. Yeah, we had Howard Grimes down here one night, and he gave me an instruction on what that was, and he was serious too. I thought he was going to beat me to death until I understood it. Yeah, well, man, he's a good teacher on the pocket, man. But that was it. Lord have mercy. You know, it goes back to what we have talked about back to Lightning Malcolm about getting butts moving in the seats, uh-huh. And that's what that does.
Were you chair dancing over there?
I was. Noticed. Yeah, I was over here. I was over here dancing my ass off over here, man. It was big.
I love. So you were barely wiggling over there.
Yeah,
you ain't got much ass. I'm just saying.
Well, you know, I've lost that over the years, but, you know. But nevertheless, no, I love it.
That was awesome.
Well, yeah. I guess when you're playing like that and you're watching that crowd and you're watching them move, got to hype you up a little bit. Yeah,
man, I tell you, I feed off the crowd. Woo, they give me more energy. I'm telling you, you know what? We played up in Pennsylvania, and them guys there, they be watching me and say, uh-oh, he gone now. And you know, we were playing something like a theater. And man, the people, I walked all the way up.
Yeah, walked up to the back.
I got the remote, you know, I use when I'm playing.
Yeah.
And they love that.
Oh, y'all, they love it when the guitar man gets up in there.
Through the crowd like that.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. That's a Buddy Guy thing, too, yeah.
That was Philadelphia.
That's a getting random women to dance right.
Yeah, well, that's just
attention things.
Well, that. And a lot of these women over there grabbing your ass too when that happens.
Up in Wisconsin,
Sheboygan.
Yeah. Sheboygan.
Yeah, when we heard about Sheboygan, I was like, well, how exciting can this place be? If you ever get a chance,
it is called Sheboygan.
It's crazy.
It is unbelievably beautiful.
Really? Oh yeah, it's beautiful up there. Yeah.
Incredible. In fact, we played for a museum that puts on an outdoor festival there once.
Yeah. Yeah.
And everything in the museum, every surface in the museum is open game to artists and becomes a piece of art that will be sold every 4 years just for...
Oh, wow. Wow.
I was able to urinate in a $20,000 toilet at that gig.
Right on.
That's living the dream,
all
sir.
The artwork in the bathrooms is for sale. There's old murals. They pull the tiles down every 4 years and sell it to the highest bidder. They take bids for you.
Wow.
The toilet had made it up to $20,000, and to tell you the truth, looking at it, I believe it was worth it. It was.
I've never pissed on anything worth $20,000 before.
What is the price of a human life, really?
I know. It's a good point.
So let me ask you guys: why not a residency gig on Beale Street?
Hadn't been offered one person.
Well, I mean, who do we got to talk to? Let's make this happen.
Yeah, no kidding.
Like, you guys could pull ass off of Beale Street in any bar you were in easily every night of the week.
We know some people down there.
Well, do we?
Yeah, I do.
No, I don't.
You
anymore.
Do. Yeah, well, not since that incident, but
more
yeah.
Fun to be from Memphis out on the road.
Well, yeah, you know what? You are not even the second or third person to have told us that, really.
I'm not to say it's better to be from than in. But.
Well, you know, Eric Hughes once put it like the thing about Memphis is like we're all kind of immune to it.
You got it.
But the further from Memphis you get, the more people give a shit. Road,
especially with him. It amazes me how far away we go. He not only sees people that know him from the music, but he just knows from playing gigs there. Before.
Right.
We've got people checking in from Savannah, Georgia tonight, and they're digging it. So, cool. You know,
oh, yeah.
So you got fans out there, too. So.
Good.
This man gets all kind of respect.
He does.
Yeah.
Oh, I can see it.
Well, he earns it. That's
about,
that's good. Well, tickets and merchandise is where it's at, my man. Yeah. You know how it is. It ain't selling records anymore.
That's right. No, that's right. That's right.
You know, and to keep doing it is, I know it's an expense, but it, you know, as it's been said, if it's in you, it's got to come out. You know, thank God you picked up the guitar when you did.
Yeah.
I'd hate to think.
I kind of want to wear a hat that says Mac on it now.
Yeah, really?
Well, but seriously, that's. You know,
they named the truck after him. That's.
You should be selling merch. I'm telling you.
I see his name on the road.
How about another tune, gentlemen? How about another one here? Let's make some noise.
All right.
Oh, that's nice, yeah. Yeah, that's great. The Daddy Mac Blues Band is what that is. We've been having so much fun tonight with the Daddy Mac Blues Band. He's sitting down here, and we've got a new guitarist involved in this.
Yeah, I just want to say, when we were all upstairs taking a break, Jesse asked me, he's like, man, you're a player, you want to sit in with Daddy Mac? Man, that would be bad right now, because I haven't touched it. I haven't picked up a guitar in about 4 months. I kind of, you know.
Oh, come on.
No, but he was cool. He was like, no, man, I get it. You gotta keep your claws sharp.
Well, yeah, you do, yeah.
Besides, we got Steve Sullivan down here.
No, he's the man down here.
He is. Right? Yeah, he is. He's played with a lot of the local greats here lately. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got it down. He's like the we could bring him down as a studio guitarist if we needed to.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a session guy. He's looking for work, yeah. right on. Mac, I tell you what, man, the stuff you're doing, I couldn't be more proud for you. It's you sounded really, really good. You got a great bunch of guys that you're playing with here, and
Oh, yeah. And I enjoy playing with them, you know, working with them. And, trying to learn them more and more.
Oh, yeah.
My style of playing. They're doing good, though.
That rhythm section back there, man, I think you need to keep those guys. That's the magic happening right back there. That's special.
I love how Calvin's a new guy, but he's just working that bass over there.
Fit right in.
Yeah, he really
sounds like, he's been playing with us all the time.
Yeah, he just fell right in. Yeah, with that Rickenbacker, too, no less.
Oh,
yeah?
That's good.
Calvin's like, F Tony over there.
Yeah, screw him.
Make the sound.
You know, we were talking about that, and what you're adding back there on the keys is adding so much, and it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. Yeah, thank you for doing that. On that, I think we heard a little bit here while the tunes were playing of what you guys might do. So, you want to get into it and make some noise there? You want to?
We're gonna do this tune called Black Magic Mama.
One, two, three.
Got a black magic mama. Got a black magic mama. Got a black magic mama. Got me so black. Turn your back on me, baby. Don't turn your back on me.
Nice job. That's great.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, it is, and it is. It's a blues standard, man.
Yeah, Peter Green, right?
Yeah, Peter Green. Yeah, that it is. Before we get out of here, I'd like to get another tune out of you before you go. But are you? Do you have a presence online on the internet? People can find you out there and get your records and all that fun stuff.
What? The bass player was keeping up with most of that.
Right.
Calvin, you got to get on the Twitter, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
You got to figure that shit out.
Got to get out there. You want to sell some records.
Set up a MySpace page. You got to do whatever it takes.
Next thing you have down here, I'll make sure you have.
Yeah, well, because I want folks that have been listening to be able to get your records, and aside from just going to the shows, which obviously you carry them there, yeah.
Do I what?
It is on iTunes?
It is on iTunes. It is on iTunes, and I believe it's also on the Amazon Music, Pandora, Spotify. Yeah.
All right, good. There you go.
You just may not be able to go find out when he's playing next easily.
But that's fine. But if you need to get the records, you need to go do that.
Exactly.
Yeah, look for Daddy Mac Blues Band up on wherever music is sold, and you'll probably find it. Well, that's good to know. Good. You know, we want you to sell some records, man. Yeah.
Yeah, we want you to quit that damn day job. I mean, you're working for the man making him rich.
I know I'm probably quitting.
And on that, what's the closer? What brings the house down for you? You want to do it?
Let's do Got a Whole Lot of Love.
Shut the
beat.
How about Showtime?
What about Turner Park?
Charles.
Okay, Turner Park.
And see.
See.
Here we go. One, two, three.
That's it. Nice job. Daddy Mac Blues Band here at Radio Memphis. Thank you guys so much for coming in and spending the evening with us out here. I know that everybody that was tuning in is there. I've been seeing comments and stuff. In fact, Brad Webb just said that he saw Steve playing. He goes, yeah, the bartender. Yeah. See the bartender playing guitar over there. But
you know, it's funny. I was just thinking that the reason this is the best job in the world is sometimes we get to just sit here and
Just let it wash over you.
Yeah, man, that's a hell of a show right there.
Thank you.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, you guys, and you guys, yeah.
Yeah, I mean that to everybody. That, yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, there's not enough attractive women on this side of the mics.
Yeah, we ran her off earlier. Yeah, you know.
But as audiences go, we are very appreciative. You guys rocked it out tonight.
Thank you. Very, very good. Yeah, there it is.
Starting to figure it out a little bit.
You guys don't suck. That's good.
Yeah,
you've achieved it. Good job. So find the Daddy Mac Blues Band wherever music is sold and get these records and you'll be happy that you did.
Any gigs coming up? Anything lined up in the near future?
Our next one is.
Jew Joint Fest. We also got the Civil Rights Museum.
Yeah.
And
when is that?
That's in
14th of April.
April.
Jew Joint Festival runs 3 days for that weekend.
Yeah.
Where you see more bands in that 3 days.
At Juke Joint, yeah. And then the Civil Rights Museum, when is that one?
The main stage is, the Civil Rights Museum, that's in May.
Yeah. That's in May?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's yeah.
We're supposed to have another one, Ground Zero, in July.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's April, May, and July right there. It's going to get something booked for June. We're golden.
So you can't ever tell what might happen, you know, because sometimes, you know how things is.
Oh, yeah.
Slow, and then it's all of a sudden.
Right.
You know, and then we'll take off.
Coming up on that time of year where there's a lot of shows to play.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're getting into spring now, and there'll be the festival season, and you never know. But keep us in the loop on what you're doing over there.
I used to do quite a bit of stuff, you know, up in Minnesota. And, you know, I never would hardly get a chance to go to Minnesota until January.
Oh, that's a hell of a time to go.
I'm telling the truth.
We just caught the tail end of the big snowstorm when we
were
in Philly.
Oh,
hey, look, as a lifelong Southerner, can I just say, fuck that?
I'm born in Canada. I don't want to go back.
That's why he lives here. Yeah.
He didn't even sound like he was born in Canada, by the way. Did you notice that?
Oh, yeah. But he hadn't apologized for a thing yet.
Hey. He was saying he wished we had Moosehead down here instead of.
You can get Moosehead down here.
I'm kidding.
Oh, down here.
Hey, don't be calling my girlfriend a moose.
Oh, my.
All
right. Right. On that note.
The Broom Closet is your one-stop shop for all of your metaphysical supplies and gifts. We stock candles, herbs, gemstones, incense, salt lamps, and more. We also host monthly rituals and events for those looking to get together with like-minded people. And the Broom Closet is the only place you can get your cards read by me, Reverend Emily. I'm an ordained Wiccan minister and Reiki master. Book your next tarot reading and see what's in the cards for you. Discover conscious living and being connected to an awesome community. The Broom Closet Metaphysical Shop is located in downtown Memphis, or visit our online store at thebroomclosetmemphis.com. The Broom Closet, where magic begins.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
These guys that have been down here before, but it's been a while. The Memphis Snake Doctors are in the house. I gotta ask you, man. This is the first time you're playing in a band, but you play harp very well. I mean, what is that? Were you sitting around in prison playing harp? I mean, where does this come from?
Well, it's a semi-interesting story. My father.
I knew it would be.
My father was a member of the 101st Airborne, and he served in World War II.
Yeah.
And he had a harmonica with him, and he had a friend named Clarence Sykes that he searched for years afterwards. But I digress. But he said that's what got him through the war with his sanity. He and Clarence with his guitar.
Playing some music in the war. Yeah.
So he taught me to play the harmonica when I was just a little fella, you know. I call it campfire music.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
You've heard what's coming up next time on the program. It'll be big. It's different. It's always fun, I guess. It's fun for me. I dig it. I hope you do. And it's really more fun than the law should allow. And I'm thinking if I have to be careful with that old joke, because I think there are people in Congress who actually believe that, well, those guys over there in Memphis are having far too much fun with all of this internet business, playing all this music and this conversation stuff, and he's giving it away for free. We can't have this. This is subversive, I tell you. It's taking down the market. It's taking down the business. Uh-huh. The damage is done, my friends, and it's not just us. We did some of it, of course, but we didn't do all of it. Why, that would be just ludicrous to think that we had anything to do with that. I mean, come on. We helped. So it's like I was having a conversation with a wife, and I was telling her about some bit of news here that happened locally. And I said, you know, no doubt you saw this. And she goes, no, I didn't see it. Where'd you hear about that? So I read it in the paper. She said, you don't read the newspaper? I said, the hell I don't. I don't physically hold it into my hands. I look at it online. And she said, well, I don't do that. And I said, you're missing out. She goes, who reads the paper online? And I said, everybody. All the news is there. It happens. You get updates by the second when it goes up there, instead of waiting for that. See, and that's something else. I'll spend a moment here on this, because it's interesting. It was a late night. I don't know, about 2 a.m, I guess it was. And I was outside because, you know, I was outside. Had a drink in my hand, you know, had a butt going. I'm standing outside. And a car comes by really slowly. And when that happens, you don't know if you need to go duck into the bushes or run or just stand there. And so I just stood there. And the guy had his window down, and he flung a newspaper at me at 2 o'clock in the morning. So, well, this is early. So I came into the house with it. I gave it to her. I said, here's tomorrow's or today's paper, technically. And she said, but that's early. And I said, that's the news up to about midnight. That's all you're getting. And he could barely get the thing from the car to the driveway because it was so thin and flimsy. You know, you know, he's almost going to have to start tying a weight to the thing to get it to the driveway. Or they're just going to stop printing it. I don't know. All right, enough of all that. I got to go. I got places to go, things to do. I got trouble to cause. So in the meantime, thank you so much for listening to this episode. If it was something you enjoyed, please pass it along to other people. And we'll help spread the word. You know what I mean? Y'all take care of one another. Take care of each other. Look after yourselves. Look after everybody. I forget how all that goes. Just quit shooting each other. That's the most important part, right? So until then, we'll see you later. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.